You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Welcome to the Cinema Gold Show. As always, I'm your host, Larry Lease, and today we dive into season 3 of White Collar. As you may have noticed, we have gone back to reviewing season by season instead of episode by episode. Apparently, you guys like the season reviews instead of episode by episode. Perhaps another time I'll go episode by episode for another show that I've enjoyed watching. But for now, we'll just do season by season. And before we dive into season 3, give us your thumbs up if you like our video, hit that subscribe button down below. And of course, give me your thoughts, comments, concerns about season 3. And with that, let's dive right into season 3. When White Collar entered its third season, it was no longer the new kid on the USA Network block. It had 2 successful seasons under its belt, a devoted fanbase, and a sharply dressed anti-hero that had redefined what it meant to be a con man on television. The show had always relied on a delicate balance of charm, mystery, and moral ambiguity, and season 3 picks up with that balance in flux. Season 2 concluded with Neil Caffrey and Mozzie in possession of a treasure trove of Nazi-era art and valuables. Priceless, dangerous, and an ethical minefield. That cliffhanger set the tone for season 3. More personal stakes, deeper emotional rifts, and the question that hovers over every season. Will Neil return to his old ways or walk the line? This season isn't just about con jobs and FBI cases anymore. It's about identity, freedom, and the fragile nature of trust. And while the heists and suits are as sharp as ever, the narrative stakes have never been higher. Neil is still the golden boy of deception, while Peter is still the ultimate moral anchor. But both characters are more haunted than ever before. Peter again begins to suspect that Neil has been lying about the treasure, while Neil is torn between Mozzie's desire to sell it and Peter's implicit faith in him. Season 3 begins with this emotional powder keg and lights the fuse almost immediately. The beating heart of season 3 is the stolen Nazi treasure from the end of season 2. Hidden in a secret storage unit, the treasure is both a literal stash of stolen art and gold, and a metaphor for every internal struggle Neil faces. For Mozzie, the treasure means escape. It's the ultimate retirement plan, one final score that allows him to disappear and never look back. For Neil, it's more complicated. The treasure is temptation, yes. But it's also a symbol of everything he's trying to leave behind, and yet he can't seem to walk away from it. Throughout the season, the tug-of-war between Neil and Mozzie becomes more than just two friends disagreeing. It's the central conflict of Neil's identity. The man he used to be, and the man Peter believes he can become. This isn't a plot that resolves quickly. Instead, it lingers and festers. Neil hides the truth. Peter investigates the heist. Mozzie pressures Neil to run. All three men are circling each other with unspoken suspicions and fears. One of the season's standout emotional beats comes when Mozzie offers Neil a fake passport and a ticket out. Neil doesn't say yes, but he doesn't say no either. He hesitates, and that hesitation speaks volumes. The brilliance of this arc is that it doesn't rely on explosions or courtroom showdowns. The tension is psychological. It's emotional. And it gives the season a richness that makes every small lie or sidelong glance feel loaded with consequence. Meanwhile, Peter is slowly but surely piecing things together. His investigative instincts tell him something's off, but his personal loyalty to Neil makes it difficult to act on that suspicion, and that tension between gut instinct and emotional trust drives much of the season's drama. Romantic subplots and crime procedurals can often feel tacked on. Not so in White Collar. Sarah Hellas returns this season not just as a love interest for Neil, but as a fully realized character who actively tests his morals and complicates his choices. She's sharp, insightful, and completely aware of who Neil is and what he's capable of. Their relationship works precisely because of that awareness. There's chemistry, sure, but there's also tension. Sarah knows Neil's history, and she doesn't trust blindly. At several key points, she calls him out. She questions his motives. She challenges him to do better, not because she wants to change him, but but because she refuses to accept half measures. There's a great scene where Sarah asks Neil, "Do you even want to change?" It's not just about the relationship. It's about the entire arc of his character, and in classic Neil Caffrey fashion, he doesn't have an easy answer. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Burke continues to be one of the show's most underappreciated assets. Her relationship with Peter remains one of the most mature, grounded marriages on TV.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
She's supportive without being passive, wise without being a scold. And as Peter begins to wrestle with doubts about Neil, Elizabeth becomes a quiet, guiding presence. This season also gives Diana more to do. Her field work is more visible, her loyalty to Peter deepens, and her dry wit adds much-needed levity. She's no longer a sidekick. She's a true partner. Together, the women of Season 3 round out the emotional fabric of the show. They're not there to prop up the male leads. They're fully engaged in the central drama, often holding up mirrors to the choices Neil and Peter are too afraid to face. Season 3 walks a careful tightrope between serialized story arcs and procedural cases, and somehow, it manages to excel at both. Episodes like Veiled Threat, where Peter goes undercover as a potential groom to catch a murderous Black Widow, shows off the series' comedic timing. Tim DeKay shines here, balancing physical comedy with genuine tension. It's classic white-collar, clever, breezy, and sneakily character-driven. Taking Account is another standout, featuring a rogue hacker who drains bank accounts. This gives Neil and Sarah a chance to work as a team, showcasing their chemistry and problem-solving prowess. It also gives the show a contemporary twist, playing with cybercrime rather than just high art forgery. Deadline digs into the world of investigative journalism and media cover-ups, offering a smart, dialogue-heavy mystery that allows Peter to flex his deductive skills. But even in these standalone cases, the larger themes of the season bleed through. Neil's trust issues, Peter's growing suspicion, Mozzie's anxiety. The show rewards viewers who pay attention. Casual fans can enjoy the plot of the week, but loyal watchers get deeper character insight layered in the background. And unlike many procedurals, White Collar never lets its format get stale. Each episode plays with a different tone. Romantic comedy, noir thriller, buddy cop caper, while keeping its emotional through-line consistent. Mozzie has long been the quirky heart of White Collar. His encyclopedic knowledge of obscure literature, obsession with conspiracies, and deadpan wit made him a fan favorite from the jump. But in Season 3, Mozzie transforms. He's not just comic relief anymore. He's the catalyst for much of the season's drama. From the moment he and Neil hide the U-boat treasure, Mozzie is laser-focused on selling it and disappearing forever. His motives aren't just selfish. He's paranoid, but not irrationally so. He knows the FBI is closing in. He sees the writing on the wall and wants to act before it's too late. What complicates things is his emotional bond with Neil. He genuinely loves Neil like a brother, but he also resents the way Peter and the FBI have started to influence him. Mozzie sees Peter's morality as a kind of leash, a way of domesticating a wild animal. He doesn't want Neil to become tamed. The ideological split drives a wedge between them. Mozzie keeps pushing for an escape plan. Neil hesitates, and that hesitation, again and again, chips away at their trust. One of the season's most heartbreaking sequences comes when Mozzie offers Neil everything. Cash, a passport, new identities, and Neil just can't commit. Mozzie doesn't explode in anger, he just accepts it, and the quiet resignation on his face says more than a shouting match ever could. Garson's performance this season is layered, soulful, and quietly devastating. It makes you root for a man who, on paper, is making all the wrong choices, but doing it for all the right reasons. And even as Mozzie fades into the background in the second half of the season, his presence looms. Every con, every lie, every moment of Neil's indecision is haunted by Mozzie's worldview. You can't trust anyone. Not really. Peter Burke has always been the moral center of White Collar. He's methodical, fair, fiercely loyal to the Bureau, and just as loyal to the people he cares about. But in Season 3, that stability is shaken. The deeper Peter digs into the museum heist, the more evidence he finds pointing, however subtly, towards Neil. But Peter doesn't want to believe it, not because he lacks evidence, but because it would mean anything that his faith in Neil is misplaced. That maybe, just maybe, he's been conned like everyone else. This season masterfully explores Peter's unraveling trust. He's not just suspicious, he's hurt. Watching him wrestle with doubt is one of the most emotionally grounded arcs of the series. His confrontations with Neil are never overly dramatic. They're quiet, loaded with subtext, and often end with more questions than answers. There's a particularly sharp moment when Peter tells Neil, "I want to believe you, but I can't ignore the facts." It's a line that defines the entire season. Peter is no longer just Neil's handler. He's become a friend, a mentor, and maybe even a surrogate big brother. And that makes the idea of betrayal almost unbearable. Elizabeth, as always, is Peter's sounding board. Her calm observations and unwavering support helps keep him grounded, but even she can't fully guide him through this storm. Peter has to figure it out for himself. What it means to be both a man of the law and a man of compassion. By the final third of the season, Peter starts bending in subtle ways. He looks the other way. He lets things slide. He justifies actions he wouldn't have in earlier seasons. And yet, it never feels like a betrayal of his character. It feels like evolution, growth. Tim DeKay plays this internal conflict with such nuance that you'd never stop rooting for him, even when he's making decisions that blur the line between duty and friendship. As Season 3 enters its final stretch, we meet a new, quietly menacing character, Agent Kramer, played with understated steel by Beau Bridges. Kramer is Peter's former mentor, a man of reputation, deep ties in Washington, and a firm belief in control over compassion. On the surface, Kramer seems like just another senior agent, but it quickly becomes clear he's a threat. A different kind of threat, not a criminal, not a villain, but the embodiment of institutional power, the cold, bureaucratic kind that doesn't deal in nuance or second chances. Kramer sees Neil for what he used to be, a dangerous asset, a flight risk, a man who needs to be controlled, not freed. To Kramer, it doesn't matter that Neil has helped the FBI close dozens of high-profile cases. He views rehabilitation as a myth, redemption a fantasy, and Peter? Just another agent who got too close to his CI. This perspective puts him on a collision course with everything Peter has come to believe. Peter has spent three seasons learning to see Neil as more than just a con man. He's seen the potential, the growth, the person. Kramer, on the other hand, only sees the profile, the history, the risk. Their ideological clash raises the stakes dramatically. Suddenly, the question isn't just whether Neil can be trusted, but whether he should ever be allowed to walk free. Kramer's plan is to transfer Neil to Washington, D.C., away from Peter, away from New York, and essentially keep him as a permanent FBI asset. It's a chilling twist, not because it's loud or violent, but because it's so plausible. It's not villainy. It's not bureaucracy, and that makes it scarier. Peter, of course, sees it coming, and as Kramer's intentions become clear, Peter is faced with an impossible choice. Uphold the system, protect the man he's come to believe in. The season finale, aptly titled Judgment Day, doesn't end with an explosion, a shootout, or a cliffhanger in the traditional sense. It ends with a choice, a very quiet, very human, very painful choice. The setup is deceptively simple. Neil is up for a hearing that could grant him his freedom. Kramer wants to ensure that doesn't happen. Peter is stuck in the middle, forced to reckon with the consequences of everything that's led up to this moment. In the most powerful scene in the episode, Neil gives a speech in front of the commutation panel. It's sincere, it's emotional. He talks about change, about identity, about what it means to earn trust. For a brief moment, you believe he might actually get what he's asking for. But Kramer pulls strings behind the scenes, and Peter knows that if he doesn't act now, Neil will be transferred and essentially imprisoned in Washington. So, in a subtle way but extraordinary act of rebellion, Peter helps Neil disappear. He gives him a passport, he gives him an out. The final scene of the season is masterful. Neil dressed sharply as always, walking into a crowded square. He turns, he hesitates, and he walks away. No words, no dramatic music, just the sound of choice. It's ambiguous. Has Neil run? Is this goodbye? Did Peter just sacrifice his career to do what he thought was right? The ambiguity is the genius of White Collar. It trusts its audiences to sit with the discomfort, to wonder, to rewatch, to debate. It's not about whether Neil gets caught, it's about whether he's changed, and whether that change was ever real, or just another con. While White Collar has always had compelling plots and charming characters, one of its greatest strengths lies in this subtle, its aesthetic, its pacing, and the symbolism woven into the show's very fabric. Season 3 leans even harder into the show's signature style, from Neil's impeccably tailored suits to the warm, sunlit interiors of the Burke's household. Every frame feels intentional. This isn't just production design, it's storytelling. Neil's wardrobe continues to serve as his mask. His suits are his armor, a curated identity that signals control, sophistication, and a refusal to be vulnerable. New York City 2 remains a character in its own right. The show doesn't rely on generic cityscapes or overused landmarks. Instead, it finds hidden corners, rooftop views, and art museums that reflect the elite cultured world Neil once scammed and now inhabits on the edge. The city mirrors Neil's transformation, refined on the outside, complicated underneath. At its core, season 3 is about reckoning with identity, with truth, with consequences. Neil Caffrey is no longer just the charming rogue or the clever thief turned consultant. He's a man forced to confront his own duality. Does he want freedom or does he want connection? Can he really have both? And most importantly, who does he become if he keeps lying, even to himself? Peter, on the other hand, learns that sometimes justice requires more than rule following. Sometimes it means making a personal sacrifice. He starts the season as Neil's handler and ends it as someone who believes in Neil so much that he's willing to risk everything to give him a second chance. The supporting cast, Mozzie, Elizabeth, Sarah, Diana, aren't just bystanders in that journey. They each help shape it, challenge it, or reflect back parts of Neil and Peter that neither man fully see in himself. The season's tone also matures. It's still stylish and fun, but the stakes are heavier. The choices matter. Trust is fragile. Every character carries the weight of past decisions like baggage they can't quite put down. Matt Bomer delivers his most emotionally complex performance. Tim Decay continues to balance warmth and authority like no one else on TV, and Willie Garson, especially in this season, reminds us why Mozzie is one of the most quietly profound characters in the genre. The writing is tight, the pacing is confident, the cinematography is elegant, and the finale? It's not just satisfying, it's haunting. Season 3 isn't just the best season of White Collar, it's a model for what serialized network TV can be when it respects its characters and its audience. Over a decade later, season 3 of White Collar still holds up. Maybe even now more than it did. Or I should say back then. It's not flashy for the sake of being flashy. It's not dark for the sake of grittiness. It's mature, thoughtful, and heartbreakingly sincere. It believes in people, and it believes that transformation is possible, but that it comes at a cost. The ending doesn't promise easy closure. It leaves questions hanging, relationships suspended, motivations unresolved. But that ambiguity is the point. The show treats its audience like adults, inviting them to sit in the uncertainty with the characters. Season 3 is the con that turns into a confession. It's the suit that hides a scar. It's the friendship that begins with surveillance and ends with sacrifice. It's television that looks good, feels good, and stays with you long after the credits roll. And that, in the world of serialized TV, is the rarest con of all. And that is our review of Season 3 of White Collar. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section below. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. Give us a thumbs up if you like our videos. Hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button so you can be notified of future videos. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.